And so people know me like in a glance, like, oh, she is Arsvita, because like who else wearing hijab if it's not Arsvita, you know? But I think like to make myself more stand out is more like about the quality of my work or like academic, the quality of what I say, the quality of, you know, like what I can point it out. You know, inclusivity, diversity and inclusivity works out because you bring something special to the table that nobody else can do that.
Episode ini disampaikan dalam bahasa Inggris. Kalau dibutuhkan, kamu bisa melihat caption dengan scroll ke bawah di aplikasi Spotify untuk mendengarkan sambil belajar. Halo teman-teman, gak terasa udah Jumat lagi. Pada episode kali ini, aku berbicara dengan Kak Arsvita Alamsyah, yang merupakan salah satu muslimah atau perempuan Indonesia terkeren terluar biasa yang pernah kutemui. Profil Kak Arsvita juga sangat luar biasa, mulai dari MIT hingga SpaceX. Dan di episode kali ini kita belajar bagaimana caranya untuk menemukan minat kita, berpikir lebih kritis, menjadi seorang komunikator yang lebih baik, dan membuat Indonesia bangga di mata dunia. Selamat menikmati.
Kak Vita, thank you so much for making the time.
Sure, yeah, thank you so much, Zahid, and happy to be here as well.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see your journey and watch you inspire a lot of Indonesians out there. And you are now based in...
I'm currently based in New York.
You're based in New York, but in the
Yes.
US, you've been here and there. Where have you lived in the US?
So I started back in Maryland, and then moved to Virginia, mostly, we call it DMV, DC,
Yeah.
Maryland, Virginia area. And then I went for grad school at MIT in Boston for a year. After that, I moved to LA in California. That was my first time being in the West Coast. It didn't work out, meaning I like East Coast better, as people may know. And so I moved back to New York right now.
I was just about to ask you where your favorite city would be in the US. If you were to
Oh,
just
my.
like, yeah, choose a place to
Sure.
live.
Absolutely. This is really funny. I like New York and DC a lot. I think DC is always like a like home. You know, like New York is really fun to see the hustle bustle and keep things going. California, I think either LA or SF is good for vacation, but I wouldn't recommend for living unless. And this is also like really interesting because if you're an Indonesian coming to the US, and the first time you land is in the East Coast, you probably and most likely gonna like East Coast better than the West Coast. And that theory kind of like reflect the other way around too, where, you know, like if you land in LA first, you're gonna like LA and the sunshine and all that. And going to the East Coast is not preferable for you. But yeah, gotta prove that theory. What about you?
Me? Well, I've only been to the East Coast, so I have no comparison, no fair comparison. But okay, now you are based in New York, and I think let's take it back then to where you grew up, and that's in Bandung.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
know. Do you think they're comparable then? Do you think like New York is kind of like Bandung, or is it more Jakarta?
In between, I would say. I think Jakarta, LA is more like Jakarta, where everything is very sparse and very far away. You got to drive from one place to the other. And Bandung is more like the East Coast area, be it like New York, Boston, or DC. Meaning where, you know, like everything is very close in proximity. Everything is like within 5 kilometers or so, like you can find your school, your hospital, your, you know, like whatever you need to live your life, it's within walking distance, quote unquote. So I think that also makes me, you know, like prefer the East Coast better because like I grew up in Bandung where, you know, everything is very close by. I don't waste time on the road, you know.
Okay, let's take it back to Bandung then. How was it like to grow up there?
I really like it. I like the cold weather. I went there just a couple months ago. Obviously, it's very different than what it used to back in the days. I think like when I was little, there was no what do you call it? Like the factory outlets along Dago Street. No, everything is there. The traffic is so bad, and sometimes, you know, like I just walk, you know, to get everywhere, especially because I live like in Dago, and then to get to ITB or like other close distance places, I prefer to just walk then if I know like there is traffic.
So your whole compulsory schooling you did in Bandung.
Yes, I did first year of elementary school. I actually did in Depok, and then we moved to Bandung, and then did my elementary school in SD Merdeka Bandung, SMP Taruna Bakti Bandung, SMA 19 Bandung.
Did you choose the school because it was close to home or?
For my high school, especially, yes. For my middle school, it was my parents' choice. For my elementary school, I just followed my parents.
Okay, this is interesting. Well, Depok and then Bandung. I actually have roots in Depok. My grandparents are from there, so I do visit very often, and I want to live in Bandung. So that's like two things that I think, well, the our background, well, in that matter, is quite similar. But with school, you said that did you like pay attention to how some schools were like the favorites, or did you not mind that at all?
It's rooted from my family as well, where my granddad actually went to ITB, my dad went to ITB, so I also want to be there, especially because I like engineering. So ITB was my goal. But then along the way, I wanted to, like work in the US. So I transitioned, move and get a degree in mechanical engineering from University of Maryland instead of ITB.
I see. I also did read one of your interviews where you, where it seems like you knew what you were gonna do even in high school. Was that the case?
And it's not always the case, actually. I think like I'm more an explorer. I like to try new things. Be it, even like when I grew up, I like to try like every kind of sports, and that also happened to be like where I want to, graduate and pick schools. I think like when I was at ITB, it was great, but then also like I'm thinking like what is the best for my future. And I think like what your journey has been, when to decide to quit and then see what's the other opportunity and taking that risk. And so that's what my decision. I think it's better to just move to University of Maryland. Does that answer your question?
I think so, yeah, I think so. So let's say we're talking about engineering in general. When did you figure out that, okay, I'm interested in this and I want to take it seriously?
Yeah, for that one specifically, I think like I knew it from middle school, just because like I think I was not good at like IPS or like sejarah, economy, or the other, just because I think the methodology that I was taught is based on remembering all the paragraphs, all the stories, and all of that. And I barely can do that back in the days. So that, yeah, it's more logical to me to put the interest in math and physics and the others that is more quantitative, more appealing to me.
Okay, so that's in subject terms in school, but outside of school, were there like any activities that you did or your parents tried to get you to do that sort of like built your interest for engineering?
My parents are very open, to be honest. They never really told me like what I have to do. I can do like whatever I want, basically, and they will support it. I want to learn like how to play drum. I want to learn how to play violin or like join any sports club. They really supported me. It's more on me who wants to explore things out. And I think that's really the key, quote unquote, to know like which one is working for me and which one is not. So back in the days, elementary school, middle school, and high school, I spent a lot of time with sports, joined some clubs, basketball and soccer as well, even until like first 2 years of college. But then after that, then I was more focused on my schoolwork.
Okay, so it seems like you've figured out things that worked for you, and then for the things that you feel didn't work for you, what did you do to them?
I'll just live
Okay, so you just le quit them
it.
and to focus on like the little ones that you think you have a huge potential in.
Exactly. It's not worth wasting the time. Like sometimes I can like go back and forth for the first like couple of months, like whether I like it or not, whether like I can push it again or not. But when I know like Yeah, this is not working out, then I'll just leave it.
Wow. Do you feel any sort of like pressure that you should be a bit more general or you should be more well-rounded?
I think in my earlier younger age, it does feel there is some sort of pressure, especially like in Indonesia. Oh, you've been going to ITB. Why do you want to, move out and then move to the US? ITB is already the best. Like you can get a job like in the US after that too. It's not like that. It's not about like what people say. And I think like I learned this very recently. It's more about like how I feel about myself. Am I comfortable enough to run through what I actually don't like for the next couple of months or years? If it's not, then I'll just choose whatever I think it's best suitable with the condition, with my condition.
And if I can recall correctly, you also got in ITB through Jalur Rapor,
Yes.
which makes it, I think it will make it very, well, a lot harder for you than most people because, especially with schools, sometimes they're afraid of this and that, this and that. And I think now, well, the most recent interview I read from you was you speaking at your school. So I think. How was it like to deal with a lot of the comments or a lot of the pushbacks from people when you tried to leave?
I mean, there was a time where I feel like everyone is commenting on my Instagram or like DMing me on things like that. But I took the good ones, and I honestly like have not seen like the bad ones, luckily. And please don't do that. But I think like taking comments from the outside, yes, sometimes there are pressure to be, like tip with excellence in all of what I do. It seems like to just fit in the society. But honestly, like for me, my job is not to be an influencer. My job is not to, like it's not the goal for me to, have somebody listen to me. It's more about like what I'm doing right now. Right now, I'm an employee, quote unquote, and do the best I can do as an employee, and that's what I get paid for, right? I think like people's comments are definitely a chatter. It can influence on what your thoughts are and things like that, but it should not be influencing what your fundamental values.
Okay. How would you describe or how would you explain your social media habits like?
Right now, I always post, like something that I like. It's more about art because my name is Ars. It means art and the only channel. I didn't do fame things and anything like that. But I like photography, I like videography, and that's the channel for me to kind of like put the best I can do. I never do like commercials or like promoting ads or anything like that, even though like people have asked me, hey, what's your rates are? I don't understand about rates. But yeah, I think that's my social media consumption. I only use Instagram. I don't use other platforms.
Even YouTube?
YouTube, I did a long time ago, but not anymore. It takes a long time. It takes a long time to edit, to compile all the sources together.
How about your consumption habits? How much time do you think you spend on social media?
Yeah, I put a limit on my phone. It's maximum to 2 hours per day. 2 hours per day is actually like a lot. But if I use Instagram, for example, I try to use it for greater goods. It's usually and mostly it's following like Islamic lecture or something like that, or quotes or something like that, or trip planning to go elsewhere. It's trying to plan this 2024 upcoming trips where I want to go and things like that. But yeah.
That's awesome. And you have actually a long journey of excellence. I mean, you've been excellent your pretty much your whole academic life as well. But I think there was a point a few years ago where suddenly like the news started to pick your name up and now you're all over the internet. How was it like when you first like found out about that?
It was not as it's planned.
How so?
Yeah. People think I'm this, like a smart girl coming, like knowing what she's knowing. But it's not like that, actually. Like, I'm not a 4.0 GPA student or, like a top-notch student in school. I just do whatever it is and try to harness it as best as possible to the work field that I like to do. And I think it's also because of your track record. Somehow it leads you to, like, what is the next decision looks like. And like being in the aerospace industry, it's kind of like niche, where sometimes you can be there for longer time than you plan.
So when your name came up in the news, you were already working by then. How did you let it not influence your work?
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's funny because like the recording was like months before it was released. And I didn't know when it was released, and I happened to just about to fly to Indonesia when it was released. So I didn't know what is going on until like I landed in Indonesia, like after more than 24 hours on the plane. And it's not something like you will blow up. And I think like other news outlets kind of like piling up together, and people start reposting it, republish the news without my consent, which is like, wow. Social media and media in Indonesia, it's kind of wild.
It is one also.
It's really interesting to be in that spot, but yeah, it's not something that I looked for.
Were your friends aware, like when your name sort of like made it in the news? Were your friends aware of that?
Yeah, my friends were aware. My friends kept sending me some posts or some other news that I never heard about. Well, I also didn't know like, that they were preparing for that. All I did was just only one interview months before. Never expected it's gonna be, like something big.
Halo semuanya, dengan bahagia aku ingin mengabarkan bahwa podcast kita masuk daftar top 3 new podcast of the year oleh Spotify, dan itu semua karena dukungan teman-teman yang luar biasa. Terima kasih untuk semua yang selalu dengerin, share episode, dan menjadi bagian dari perjalanan ini. Antusiasme teman-teman benar-benar membuat aku dan tim terus semangat. Aku juga pengen ngucapin terima kasih kepada seluruh tamu keren yang udah berbagi wawasan dan cerita berharga mereka di podcast ini. Untuk mengundang lebih banyak tamu dan narasumber yang luar biasa, aku mengundang teman-teman untuk memberikan review jujur setelah mendengarkan podcast ini. Semakin tinggi angka reviewnya, semakin kredibel podcast kita terlihat, dan semakin mudah pula untuk menciptakan berbagai kesempatan kolaborasi. Terima kasih sudah menjadi bagian penting dari Udah Jumat Lagi, dan aku sangat excited untuk masa depan yang semakin penuh dengan pengetahuan.
Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
An ambivert. I tested
Interesting.
that. I tested out multiple times, and it's keep changing from extrovert to introvert. I think maybe if you ask me like real right now, I think like I'm more on the introverted side. I just went to like some networking events, and I feel like yeah, I don't want to do networking anymore. I got some of my energies by surrounded by like good people. It's more about the quality of the conversation that I really enjoy.
All right, this is a one thing that I'm thinking of, 'cause I'm at a lucky position myself as well, where I have like access to amazing individuals like yourself and a lot of other people that I can speak to. And I don't know, this is something that I'm thinking of, and it's how will the people that you're friends with will influence you and how you behave and everything. But do you yourself have like a sort of like criteria in your head of like, okay, this person can be my friend?
I don't categorize people as like, oh, I can befriend with this one and the other one is not. It's just naturally selected, I guess. I think as you age, people also tend to, like collaborate or like interact in some ways, seleksi alam, quote unquote. I think for me, it's more about the quality. Again, I really enjoy a conversation, like thoughtful conversation with my friends. And I I cannot deal with gossip. It's not me. Gossip is like, I cannot handle it at all. Like, I prefer to just go out from the room. Like, it's more about like, hey, you're in front of me. I want to know about you. You're the person in the room. I don't want to talk like somebody else who I don't care, like outside of the room.
I see. I ask this because I'm starting to feel like I'm growing apart from some friends. And yeah, I don't know how to respond to this, because obviously like it's been awesome to have them in my life, but I think we have like different priorities now. We're growing apart, and obviously you've had to grow apart from your own relationships as well. How do you deal with that then, like the friends that you may lose because you decided to go on a different path or?
I think it really depends. Is it like completely different priorities, different, like interests and things like that? I think friendship or relationship really works out because there are some common theme, be it your beliefs, be it some activities, be it some projects. A couple of my good friends are actually not in the US anymore, and it's kind of like growing apart in terms of distance, but we kept in touch and have like a thoughtful conversation over video call like every couple of months or so. And it always feels like as if like I've been friend with them in, in real life in just short distance, and we can talk like hours on anything, on career, on love life, or like other nitty-gritties. I think growing up doesn't necessarily mean growing apart, but there are some people that you don't, there is no obligation for you to keep in touch with them for like every single week or so. But I think it will be nice to have like, hey, what's going on, what's new, every once in a while.
Okay. Well, now you've been working in the US for how many years?
In total, full-time employment will be like 5.5 years ish.
Okay. You did mention earlier that it was your dream that you wanted to work in the US. What do you think of it now?
I'm in a learning mode. I'm still early in my career. And I think it's best to stay within the US, just because I think like the learning curve is really, steep, in many companies. I like the hustle bustle. I'm trying to, harness the time as short as possible while learning a ton, in a shorter period of time.
Did you feel any sort of insecurity coming to the US as someone from a third world country? Did you feel like, okay, I have to do something different, or how was it like?
I don't feel insecurities. I think like earlier when I, tried to find my internship, that's already like the trial. Can I actually make it or not? Make it or break it. And turns out that I did internship, and then my first full-time job, it's just like once you get one and you only need one job, that's the proof out. That's where, like how you can project yourself, not comparing to others, but to your best self in a way. Can you actually do the work or not? I think from there it gains you some sort of level of confidence that you want to bring yourself into. Obviously confidence is not something that, oh, one day you're being confident, and then the other day you're gonna stay confident forever. It's not, it's more like a reciprocative approach within yourself. And sometimes there are times where I feel like imposter syndrome too, like where I feel like, oh, I thought I can do it, and turns out maybe less than what I expected myself to do. And that's still okay. It's still a learning process.
Even at this level, do you think you s still feel imposter syndrome?
Not right now. There are times where I feel like I'm very nervous. When I went to a meeting, the room is full with, male, and mostly they are already have like way more experience than me, say like an expert, the head of NASA, the CEOs and things like that, from private equity firm. It somewhat intimidates me, but if I knew it beforehand, I can, preparation is definitely one thing that like I can do. And it's the key to, have a fruitful conversation through meetings with all these experts. It's really important for me to kind of like just breathe and then, pray a little bit so that my tongue is not twisted and make sure like I pointed out what I want to say directly.
On paper, it seems like there are so many things going against you. Firstly, obviously, you said that in your work environment, most people are male. And then you are also very visibly a Muslim. People sometimes don't know that I'm a Muslim. Someone just asked me, or someone was surprised that I was a Muslim, although my name is very clearly a Muslim name. And then, how did you turn these things that are on paper, like going against you, how did you turn them into your strengths?
I think being unique for me is a special trait. Being different with others, I think maybe I grew up also like I wanted to be different with others. Like for appearance, yes. Majority of my time in the U.S., I'm always the minority. I'm always visible as somebody who is wearing hijab, and nobody else on the floor is wearing hijab. And so people know me like in a glance, like, oh, she is Arsvita, because like who else wearing hijab if it's not Arsvita, But I think like to make myself more stand out is more like about the quality of my work or like academic, the quality of what I say, the quality of like what I can point it out. Inclusivity, diversity and inclusivity works out because you bring something special to the table that nobody else can do that. And same thing with life, like as a Muslim, you kind of like represent it in some way. So I need to make sure like I don't behave frantically out of the blue, even though I'm wearing hijab, you represent something. So make sure like you do it better or best, than the others.
How are you still very strong with your faith? What are your habits when it comes to this practices?
I used to not being very religious until like I was about to move to the US. And at the time it's actually it came through a dream. And this is not something that I talked with people about. And at that dream, it's basically like a wake-up call. And all of a sudden my life changed, that I became a more religious person in some ways. And it's just like an enforcement within myself that I wanted to be good. And if I leave this world in one way or another, I hope like I end up in a good term as well. So that vision, I would say, really forced my habit and what I wanted to consume and what I want to do in daily basis, basically.
Who do you listen to the most now?
Omar Suleiman is my favorite imam, for sure. And anything from Yakin Institute. The other one is Dr. Haifa. She's also a really good lecturer outside of like the Islamic faith podcasts or like resources. I like to listen The Psychology of Your 20s. It actually talks about like, like the friendship, the growing apart type of friendship that you just mentioned before. I think those three will be my recent favorites. I also watched The Daily of CEO. It's on YouTube, like I kind of listen it while, like during my downtime.
Talking about religion and Islam, well, there are so many thoughts and opinions, and there are like so many ideals for one to achieve as a Muslim. But at the same time, if we know that it's not very practical or realistic to just like look at this one ideal and then like suddenly decide to be just like that in even like a few years. It takes a lot of time. So how are you consuming all of this and not feel overwhelmed with like the pressure or, well, the desire to get to that like ideal place and taking things on your own time? Like, how do you deal with that, or how do you, what is your approach to that?
Learning process is always bit by bit for me. And that's also the process that I need to, savor in a way. I cannot do it, especially in terms of like a religion. I think like it's more in joyful within me if I learn it bit by bit compared to like just consume everything in one day, it can be really tricky to remember all the things. I think that's what's most important to me, the learning process itself, not like being preachy or anything like that, but you know, like I'm not there yet, actually. There's always something to learn.
Okay, now I'm gonna ask you a question that all of my friends in high school asked my, well, science teachers. And that is, people say that science and religion can't go hand in hand. What are your thoughts on this, especially that you are pretty much involved in both?
That's a really good question. Let me think. I think to some extent they're actually going hand in a way. You know, things cannot happen without Allah's permission, and that's what my belief is. You can always, you know, try out, force out something that you really wanted to make it happen physically. But at the end of the day, like, who decides? It's not us as human. I think because I came from that belief, maybe right now both of them are, you know, like you can explain only to some extent one what happened in physics and what happened in religion can be explained the other way around. Bit by bit, maybe not the full scale of it. And I think what is written in the Quran or like in the, you know, like some other theology sources, it comes into picture. It comes into like a proof in some way, physically on earth. And I think that's what is really interesting between both. I think like over time it's gonna explained or proven out bit by bit.
Yeah, that's a
What
great
do you think
setting.
about that?
Well, I think it's called, well, belief, faith, kepercayaan, keyakinan, for a reason, right? Let's just put it like that. But yeah, I think you've explained it well. And well, now back to work. What skill are you trying to improve?
I really want to improve definitely my negotiations and presentation skill, kind of like on a pitching side of things. So my current work to advise like private equity and corporate leaders is definitely, you know, like in a higher level where I try to improve their portfolio through performance improvement, risk mitigations, corrective actions, and so on. So to win those arguments, especially like in this world where, you know, like the dynamics of the market is really changing pretty much like in a shorter period of time, is really something that I learned differently coming from the industry after 5 years. Before, it's more like, you know, my stakeholders are our internal employees within the company. But now it's more like branching out to like different external stakeholders where, you know, people are way different when you treat companies to companies. So I think those skills are really essential. Another thing I think I want to branch out more about like business development side of things. It's always in the back of my mind, funny thing, to have my own side gig, but it's never been executed fully 100%. So I want to learn those. Sure.
That's awesome. One thing that I think I find is awesome is your name. Well, it's one of a kind, surely. But then, like, when I've always looked at it as like Ars Vita as a whole, but then I just recently figured out that it's actually Ars dash Vita. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
What's the
That's how
story
I got it.
behind that?
Yeah, thanks for asking this. So Ars Vita is actually not an Indonesian name. It's from a Greek aphorism called Ars Longa Vita Brevis. My dad really likes Greek readings back in the day. So Ars Longa Vita Brevis means art is long and life is short. And my parents didn't include short part of it, which is really good. But Longa is now abbreviated as a hyphen there. So that's Ars Longa Vita Brevis. That's how it was driven.
Amazing. So you've also mentioned earlier that you are planning some trips in 2024. Which ones are you l l most looking forward to?
Most looking forward to, I really wanted to go to Japan and Indonesia again. Actually, next year, wanted to go to Europe as well. Not sure if I have that much of a paid time off, but we'll see if I can work it around. Primarily because of one of my cousins will get married, so I think like I need to make a trip. And then to Japan, I went there like when I was little, but you know, like not during my adult life. And one of my friends is actually moving there coming up next, so those two kind of like a priority. But the other ones are in Europe, you know, like some countries that I haven't been.
What do you miss from Indonesia?
What do I miss? I just went there like when, like September, things like that. So I haven't missed that much.
Okay.
But I think it's always about the people as well as the food. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Karasuta. Let me tell you, this is probably the best conversation I've had this year. And it just happened to come at the almost at the very last day of the year. That's amazing, and I'm not exaggerating this, honestly.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, and it's really good to know you. And happy to answer any question or concern or anything like that. The feeling is the same. Likewise, I enjoy the conversation,
Thank
and
you so much.
hopefully it's a good reference for the others.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
Sebelum kita akhiri episode ini, aku mau kasih undangan spesial untuk teman-teman pendengar. Kalau teman-teman suka dengan pembahasan dan topik yang ada pada podcast ini, aku juga punya newsletter mingguan gratis yang saat ini sudah ada lebih dari 15.000 pembaca. Aku biasanya berbagi insights dan pembelajaran hidupku setiap Senin pagi, dan kalau teman-teman mau menjadikan ini bagian dari awal pekan teman-teman, silakan langsung ke zahidibr.com/newsletter. Sekali lagi, zahidibr.com/newsletter. Terima kasih dan sampai jumpa pada episode berikutnya.